Let's start surfing. Why don't we?
Okay.
I really wanted to get the Beach Boys for this segment, and I couldn't quite get that.
You should have called me. I would have done that.
Seriously?
Well, of course.
I've never owned a Beach Boys album, but I thought, if any of the time was to play it on the show, tonight, today would have been the time.
I would have done that. When you have those thoughts, you call me.
I'll do that.
All right. Well, Dr. Frederick Lenz, also known as Rama, is truly a Renaissance man. He's earned a Ph.D. in English literature and a black belt in martial arts. He's a designer of business and educational computer software and a Buddhist teacher. He's also a musician and producer of both rock and new age music and author of the best-selling novel Surfing the Himalayas, now published in 10 foreign countries. His latest novel, Snowboarding to Nirvana, the sequel to Surfing, is just out from St. Martin's Press. Frederick Lenz, welcome again to Connecting Point.
He's also one of our best call-ins.
Yes. I mean, he's the call-in who has had the most cogent information for
There you go. Thank you so much. Sorry about that, Frederick. We just had a little sign-up that said Frederick on two. We went with it.
Oh, no, that was fine.
Okay, good.
I'm sure you're used to these spontaneous outbursts.
No problem.
Yeah, okay.
I want to start off with two things, two little personal things. Is one, the person, David Holland, a good friend of mine in the Sausalito area, who introduced me to you, when I called him up to tell him I was going to finally get you on the show, he said, he is the person that has impacted my life the most. Mm. So I pass that compliment on to you, and want to let you know also that you are helping form the mind of my 16-year-old. My friend David gave the book Surfing the Himalayas to, and has been very powerfully impacted by that also. So,
is he a snowboarder?
He is a snowboarder.
Oh, he's a shredder, hot.
He's a shredder. He just came back from Wyoming and up in the Southern California mountains, and he lives to do it, only he has to go to school. So
I understand. Outstanding. He's probably to Jackson Hole, which is the longest vertical drop in America.
Yeah, he's into it.
I'm going to have to leave all this jargon to you guys. I haven't got a clue about snowboarding.
Oh, God. Your interest and your talents range from what David was talking about, karate to computers, Buddhism, snowboarding, spirituality. What were the major influences that formed you into this man that you are here?
Well, I would say past lives, of course, but I didn't know that back then. So I would just think there were a lot of things. Karate was because I went to an urban school. There were a lot of gangs. I didn't particularly want to join one. So in order to survive, after seeing some Bruce Lee movies, I went to the local martial arts studio and learned how to survive, and also learned that there was a grace philosophy and oriental discipline behind it, which led me to meditation. I really came to meditation by way of martial arts when I was a teenager. Music has always been a first love, and I just seemed to have a gift for higher mathematics and composition in particular. So while I do some commercial things that are more techno and rock oriented, most of my work, which is put out through BMG on Miramar, Canyons of Light, the new one, Cayman Blue, which just came out, Enlightenment, and so on and so forth, is music that essentially is trying to translate the meditative experience without being boring into something that people can just put on, snowboard to, meditate to, or do whatever to. As far as writing is concerned, I think that's a natural, having a Ph.D. in English. For me, the reason I got a Ph.D. was not so much the scholarly side interested me, but I was very interested in particularly the mystical writings of William Blake, of poetry, T.S. Eliot, sides of Shakespeare, just things in literature that take one higher to a better and deeper place, which I find in Buddhism, which I find in extreme athletics, which I find in, I'm also an ultra-deep scuba diver. I search the world, whether it's in books, whether it's in physical experience in athletics, whether it's in helping others, for those moments that are rare and perfect, which take a lot of time, a lot of discipline, and a lot of patience to reach, but they're just these revelatory moments of ecstasy. And I guess you might just say that my interest in life is finding ecstasy and sharing it with others in a kind of a non-denominational way.
Mm-hmm. In the first book, Frederick, Surfing the Himalayas, the young man meets the Buddhist monk in what you've called an accident of karmic destiny, which is a wonderful phrase. You are so accomplished in so many areas. How available or how much of what you've done do you think is a function of your own karmic destiny? And then how available is this level of accomplishment to most people?
Well, I first of all, you have to understand, I kind of got drawn into Buddhism and things like that, not so much because suddenly it hit me one day that this was what I was supposed to do, but actually I was interested through martial arts. I was sort of brought in that way. But really, as I point out in the first book, Surfing the Himalayas, which is in paperback now, I was snowboarding in Nepal, and at the end of a snowboarding run, I actually hit a Buddhist monk on my snowboard.
That's the accident.
That's the accident. And neither of us was hurt, but when we got up from the snow, I was highly embarrassed, and of course I didn't speak any Nepali, and I apologized, and I didn't know what to say. And he came up to me, and he spoke English, and he said it was our karma that we were supposed to meet. He was laughing instead of being angry. And I got to know him better, and as I snowboarded the Himalayas, he began to teach me what they call Tantric Buddhism. And it was his assertion that if I practiced meditation and learned Tantric Buddhism, it would make me a better snowboarder. You might say he hooked me that way.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be true. In the second book, it's about the second time I went back to Nepal, which is snowboarding to Nirvana, after coming back to Los Angeles, where I live. And I'm originally a surfer, so I went back up to Zuma, and I was doing some surfing. And I guess the whole thing in Nepal got too weird for me. Suddenly, I was just learning all this Buddhism, seeing magic, miracles, and I guess things that the folks who listen to your radio show really seek. But I was being thrown into a world of mysticism that was a little overwhelming for me. So I came back to L.A. and did some surfing, but then I had a dream in which I saw myself going back to the Himalayas, and so I guess I got back on the horse, went back, met the teacher I was working with, Fwap. He introduced me to a very crazy kind of a guy, an oracle of Nepal, and the two of them proceeded to teach me more about meditation, give me a book, the Handbook for Enlightenment, an old Tibetan text, which I put into this book, which teaches people how to meditate and gives techniques. And I met a very beautiful young woman over there that my teachers told me I had past life karma with, from Denmark. And there's a romance in the book. And then, of course, they took me to the Cave of Enlightenment, which is deep into the Annapurna Himalayas, where I had a number of very powerful metaphysical experiences and also did some absolutely fat snowboarding.
Mm.
And so the book is a compilation of meditation techniques. It's an adventure story. They gave me a riddle to solve, the riddle of the missing dimensions, which I had to kind of work on, which is sort of portrayed throughout the book, where I'm trying to figure out this riddle they gave me, which they said would help me gain deeper understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the book sort of rounds itself out with a series of snowboarding adventures, mystical adventures. And I also, for people who are new to snowboarding and don't realize it's the greatest sport on earth, I just put in the entire history of snowboarding, too, and terminologies, because while I'm doing very advanced, what they call off-piste or deep powder snowboarding in the Himalayas, I wanted people to have a sense of where snowboarding comes from, how to snowboard. So
right,
the idea is...
I'll have to read up on that so I can stay totally in tune with my child.
We've got to surf through
here.
A little commercial break here, Frederick.
Yeah, we've got to give a little support to our sponsors, but we're going to come back and get a little bit deeper with you after a few words from some friends. I'm Jesse McKeon.
I'm David Stewart. You're here with us on Connecting Point. We're exploring the ties that bind. Stay with us. I've never been on a snowboard, but that feels like snowboarding to me.
Mm, it feels smooth.
I can see
and
the
sweet.
Image and feel the sensation.
Mm-hmm. We're back with you on Connecting Point. I'm Jesse McKeon. We're listening to the latest from Frederick Lentz, Zazen, Cayman Blue. Maybe that was a scuba diving experience. Where did the inspiration for that come from, Frederick?
Well, I think the inspiration always comes from meditation, to be honest with you. But Cayman Blue is a more of a scuba diving oriented album. What I do is I'm a deep scuba diver, meaning we go below 300 feet, and I scuba dive all over Fiji, Australia, and the Caribbean. So what I've done is basically what I'm doing is scuba diving in power places.
Mm-hmm.
Most people think power places
sacred
are
sites.
Just in the deserts and mountains.
Right.
Two-thirds of the world is covered by water. So what I do is I go to power places, interdimensional vortexes, and I go scuba diving there. And the water, as you go deeper, just sort of blocks out the toxicity of the human aura. And you're able to have experiences of pure aura and fantastic scuba diving, perhaps the way the Earth felt before it got so crowded. So Cayman Blue, which is available on Miramar, is the favorite places that I've been. It's an ecological album designed to get people to be aware of the sensitivity of and the beauty of our world of water and that it needs to be protected. And I've just taken all my favorite scuba diving places and written a song about the energies that I felt in each one of them so that the person, who's, as they sit and listen to the album, can go underwater and feel that aura.
Well, that's so interesting. I lack the sports gene. That felt like snow to me.
Well, I can't separate.
The snow is water.
Yes,
yeah,
right,
hey,
exactly.
It's the same experience.
Yeah.
It's all from the same essence.
Exactly. So. I'm just into water in different forms, but you can't separate that from snowboarding. The snowboarding music I write tends to be a little more tectonic.
Right. I'm curious. I know we kind of touched on it a little bit before, but how did you become comfortable with and give yourself permission to be all that you are? I mean, it's phenomenal to talk to you and your accomplishments and the energy and the productivity and the experiences. How did someone teach you that? Did someone guide you to that? Or is this all from your meditation experiences?
Oh, no. As I say in the introduction to my new book, Snowboarding to Nirvana, in the preface, I thank all the great teachers I've had. I would be nothing without my teachers. And Snowboarding to Nirvana is really what I've done is taken the information my teachers have given me that have helped me do what I've done, and I put it on print so millions of people can literally sit with them and hear what they have to say, have the same meditation techniques, have the same sense of humor they imparted to me. And as a matter of fact, pretty much everything I've done they told me to do many years ago. They said to go into music. They said to go back to school and get a PhD, and I had dropped out of college at that point. And I had just a lot of very tough Buddhist teachers, martial arts teachers, and other great teachers, athletic teachers, who just always just pushed me to the max. And if it wasn't for their inspiration, I don't think I would have really done very much. I think I would have discovered meditation and loved it as I do. But for me, I'm a kind of an introspective person, and I'm just kind of an athletic person. And I don't think that I would have plunged so deeply into writing and sharing music and software and all these things with people, but my teachers just said, look, you can't just keep this for yourself. You have an obligation. That's what a martial arts teacher instructs you to do. Once you get your black belt, we've spent all this time working on you. Now you have a moral obligation to return this, not with economics so much as by going out and without, you know, being too full of yourself or thinking you know more than others, passing on the ancient techniques, the spirit, the laughter, the compassion to others. Once you get to a certain point, your growth is no longer sitting in front of the teacher, but now it's bringing that information without being egocentric and presenting it as pure a form as you're possible of to others, the way you are with your radio show.
Frederick, how old are you?
I'm 47 now.
You're 47?
Wow. Yes.
Amazing.
Wow, because I was going to say that...
Packed all that in a short period of time.
Really, but there's a youthfulness that belies that age, 47. I was going to say snowboarding and even computers seem like they're kind of organic activities of younger generations. Your son is a snowboarder.
Absolutely.
You think about younger people with computers and snowboards. Do you perceive a very different consciousness in today's teens and kids in their 20s, and if so, what's that about?
Totally. I've been teaching meditation for 25 years, and so it's every year I've had a new class of kids in, and usually I start with ranges of 18, 19, because that's who's interested. So let's say I've had 25 years of seeing 25 classes of 18 and 19-year-olds come in, along with all ages.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a tremendous difference. Kids are growing up in a world that's burnout, that's jaded, that's scandal-ridden, that does not have a value system of any kind. And kids are having a much tougher time. And I think that's why snowboarding, I think that's why athletics, I think that's why meditation, and just you have to get centered and grounded, martial arts. But kids just do not have the backup that we did growing up. They don't necessarily believe that tomorrow's going to be better. And so in order to find that and break through this kind of narcissistic kind of downness that everybody seems to have, you have to go within, and at the same time you need to do things physically where you can prove to yourself that you have a worth, that you're worth investing in. So I see that kids have a much tougher time, but I think part of my youthfulness, I mean, my body may be 47, I always feel like I'm about 17. Mm-hmm. Athletically I can still do the same things, but I pretty much hang with people who are from around 18 to around 25 most of the time, obviously not all of the time. I'm with my peer group sometimes because we do the same things. I do radical snowboarding, I do radical computers and software, and so just the age groups of the people in scuba diving who are mostly doing that are younger, and we just do it together, and it's just a ball. Mm-hmm. I think the way you stay young is to meditate, to work out, you know, low fat, and just to not isolate yourself with your peer group. I associate with people from 8 to 80, and just by not locking into people who are going through the same memories, the same right. experiences, you've got to plunge into the new all the time, even mm-hmm. if that's what computers are. Instead of being threatened, take a course.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because you say that art and meditation and commerce merged for you when you got into computer science. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I've done essentially is when I became involved with computer science, I started to teach. I met a lot of kids when I was teaching Buddhism who really didn't seem to have a sense of direction career-wise. And so they were working at McDonald's or doing manual labor. Bright kids, but they just didn't want to plug into the system, because they just didn't feel that suits and ties were their world. So what I've done is offered, I ended up not just teaching Buddhism, but sort of being a career counselor and just giving a lot of computer courses, and I found that the kids adapted, not that they're kids, but that these young folks adapted real well to computers. So probably as much of my time has been spent in developing and selling software as teaching people to get computers, have computer skills, start their own computer business. And actually, I've turned out a number of multimillionaires at very early ages, and many of the folks I met who were working at minimum wage are now making 90 or 100 bucks an hour doing something positive, non-polluting, with computer science, and then they're able to go to India, to go to Tibet, to give money to positive
pursue
sources.
Pursue their passion.
Yeah, exactly. In other words, money frees you, if you use it properly, not to be selfish, but to assist others, and just also to give yourself the opportunity and the space for transformation. So computers, technology, music, all of these things which I talked about in
both the books.
Nirvana
mm-hmm.
are really things we shouldn't run. In other words, Tantra, which is the what I talked about in Snowboarding to Nirvana, the philosophy of Tantric Buddhism is a little bit different. It's not a denial of the world. The idea is that samsara is nirvana, that the very physicalness of our existence is part of enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
And when we run away from physicality and material success, when we run away from the world, that's not the way you find enlightenment, nor is just to plunge into it. Enlightenment is an integrated acceptance of our physicality and with our spiritual nature, and you can't separate the two.
The wholeness of ourselves.
Yes.
Exactly.
So Snowboarding to Nirvana is the new book by Dr. Frederick Lenz. Frederick, before we have to leave, we've only got about a minute or so left. What do you want your readers to take away with them? What's the primary message in the book?
Well, I think the primary message is, which is in the book, is that if you read Snowboarding to Nirvana, you'll find techniques that can allow you to take snowboarding and turn it into a spiritual experience or any form of athletics or work or your life. It's a compendium. It's a study guide. It's an adventure story. It's a romance. It's a riddle. But when you come out of it, I think you will have tools you can apply to your life that will just put a big smile on your face.
Well, thank you for passing on that information. want to put in a little request to you. If you do make it out to the West Coast, we'd love to have you in the studio and be able to spend a little more time with you. But until then, we're grateful for Surfing the Himalayas and Snowboarding to Nirvana, all the music that's come out of Zazen, and all the work that you're doing. So thank you very much, and thanks for being with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure. I was born in San Diego, and I've spent most of my life in California and in Malibu and Marin, so I'm sure I'll be out that way.
Okay.
Oh, and my wife wants to know, what's your birthday?
February 9th, 1950. I'm an Aquarius with Leo rising, and the moon is in Scorpio, and all my major planets are in Aquarius.
Wow. No wonder we're getting the good vibes.
And where were you born?
San Diego.
Terrific.
California.
All right, Frederick. She right. thanks you. I thank yeah. you. We thank you.
Thanks for being
Come join
with
us in the
so
studio
much.
When you're in L.A.
Thank you. My pleasure.
We'd love that.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
We're
Stick
not going
around.
Away because we're going to be back with Rachel Rosenthal in a little small segment with John Rogers.
Right after
so
the news.
We've got another hour. Stay with us through the news. I'm Jesse McKeon.
I'm David Stewart.
We're Progressive Talk Radio for a Change Connecting Point. Come on back.